How to have a successful harvest, part two. Go to Matthew 6:24. Now, I'm hammering this right now. I know that we've been in different areas, but because of the Aliyah seed, which was wired to Israel, $24,000. So how much? $24,025.99. There you go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Danny, Lord. Anyway, Deb and Danny went to the bank and got everything all done, and so 24 Israelis will be living in their own country. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We are fulfilling prophecy right from the Bible. And now the Lord says, whatever you make happen for them, He'll make happen for you. Amen. So Matthew 6:24 says this, no one can serve two masters. Did you know that's the truth? Did you know that's why heads of ministries are always one person? Did you know that's why they don't just have a, well, some of them do, but why we don't have, we do have a board of trustees, of course, but there's a head of a ministry because two heads make a monster. That's why in the home, the husband is the spiritual head of the house, because someone has to make a final decision. It doesn't mean that you both don't make the decisions together. It just means if you get in a place where, you know, you can't come to the decision, that the husband would say, according to the scripture, don't get mad, ladies, I'm quoting Bible, that the husband would take care of it. And he would be the protector. It's just as much important for the husband to submit to the wife and those kinds of things. They're to love one another, and the children are to submit and all that kind of stuff. But someone has to be spiritual authority and make the decision. Amen. Well, it's that way in a ministry too. You have to have people who are leaders. And so, because you cannot serve two masters, you have to know someone who's going to be responsible for the decisions that are made. And that's where I'm always glad when there are some leaders telling me what to do, because they're responsible for what happens. Fortunately, I do that here, and everybody's happy about that, that's on the staff. Okay, now, I just heard Danny laughing, and that laugh like, yeah. Okay, now, so there are two systems in the world. There is the kingdom of God, and then there is the world system. They call it the Babylonian system. It's Babylon. It's actually capped. It was capped at Babel. Everything that the world does can only get so high. Even socialism. I'll leave that alone. Now, so you have these two systems, and the Bible clearly tells us there in Matthew which one we should serve. You cannot serve mammon. Now, mammon's a word we don't use. So mammon would be, to us, a personal wealth, or just a worldly wealth, just something that is just yours. The old-timers would say, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. In other words, it's mine, it's all mine. And I'll do what I want to, you know, Scrooge. Okay, there, that was easy. Cleared up the picture right there real quick. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, okay. So one of the ways now, well, let me say this. So I'm going to put this in here too, because this will make it easy for you. You can't serve money. Money should serve you. Resources should serve you. Property should serve you. Your business that you own should serve you. You have to work at these things, but they serve you because you serve God. And so they're serving God. Now, one of the ways that people serve the wrong system is actually found in verse 25 there. It says, therefore I say unto you, do not worry. Everybody say, do not worry. So see, when you worry, you're serving the other system. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, no. What am I going to do? Oh, no. That is meditation on fear. You're meditating fear. You're meditating on what the devil could pull off. Yeah. That's right. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God's not doing it. The devil's doing it. Now, so, therefore, do not worry about your life. So worry would be serving the other system. Greed would be serving the other system. Okay? And church, greed is fear. You can boil everything down. Even lust is fear. Yeah. Amen. You know when you go get that big piece of cake and you're thinking, I better get a big piece because by the time everybody gets some, what if I wanted some more? Just, you know, you got to think about that. See, somebody in here really, yeah. Okay, praise the Lord. So then verse 33 says this, and there are other ways. I'm just saying a few things, of course. You know, you're just doing it so that you can get a big title and tell the world you were a success. That would be another way of serving mammon. You know, so you could say, I did it. Okay. So that'd just be pride, right? Okay, now, Matthew 6:33. Yeah, Lord, I will do that. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Thank you for reminding me of that. The Lord reminded me of this verse right here. I have a... Okay, so we're going to seek the kingdom of God, not the system of the world, right? Now, and his righteousness. There's something you might want to understand about this word righteousness right here. This is not the righteousness of right standing. Although when you look it up, some people may say that and the commentaries may say that. I actually have an exegesis Bible that exegetes, which I love to do, and takes it back to the Aramaic or the Greek, and then takes it back from there to the Hebrew. And when you look up this word righteousness, it actually is zedekah. And that is about seek ye first the kingdom of God and doing righteous things. Meaning giving. He's actually talking about giving here. Seek the kingdom of God concerning what you're going to need in life. And this is the way you do it. You seek the kingdom. It's a system. It didn't say just seek God. It said seek the kingdom. This is Jesus talking. He said seek the kingdom now and his righteousness. So seek the kingdom and seek to do right, to do things that you're giving. It's a desire that you're going to have. I'm going to help somebody. Another greed would be like, man, I don't have time for anybody else. I'm just going to ignore. I know they need help. I'm ignoring it. Oh, there's so-and-so calling. I got to keep going, you know? Okay. Oh, it got quiet. Let's move right along. Okay. Now, so everything that you need needs to come through the kingdom. So how does the kingdom work then? Well, the answer you already know. We've talked about this many, many times. It's found in Mark 4:26, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Here's the kingdom. We're seeking the kingdom. How does the kingdom work? Seed time and harvest. That's how the kingdom will work. It says he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed would sprout, and he doesn't know how. So once you sow your seed, you don't know what's going on in the spirit world, but something's going on in the spirit world, and then you start seeing it grow up. You start seeing the manifestation of it. That's how the kingdom works. The earth yields a crop of herself, which would be your spirit yielding the harvest, and it will pull in the resources, the natural resources that are in the earth. And when the grain is ripe, immediately he puts in the sickle and he reaps. So what we've established here is that we don't want to seek our own personal wealth. We want to seek God and his wealth in his kingdom structure, in his system. And we know that his system is seed time and harvest. Okay. Now, well, I'm just going to seek him. That's good, but there's more, because many people, they're just trying to do the wrong thing. See, the person of Jesus creates peace, but the principles of Jesus creates prosperity. Okay? The person of Jesus gets you ready for heaven, but the principles of Jesus prepare you for earth. See? So it's not just the person of Jesus. There are principles of Jesus that actually work. The golden rule is one of them. Amen. And to learn to do this. So this is a system that's working, and it will bring you what you're looking for. You cannot draw from the wrong thing. I have a garden. I had to plant things to get something to come up in that garden. I didn't go, here's a garden. We all had to get out there and plant the stuff, and then you had to water it, and then Deb gets out there and harvests it. I'm the waterer. John's the weed eater. We all have a part. Praise the Lord. Amanda and Danny eat the stuff. No. John helps till it up and all that. So, but I mean, we had to do something. You had to put something in there. So it's the system's only going to work if you put something in there. Now, so he told us how it worked. Now, you, he also told us then not to get involved in serving money. So you must be rich toward God and not serving a personal wealth. I'm just going over this just a little bit. So then let's just say from here, we're trading systems. We're going to do this system, and it requires seed time and harvest. I just already heard someone's alarm go, well, what are you talking about? We're just going to give our money away all the time? We're just going to give everything we have away all the time? Well, I'm there. But I'm talking about the Word being the seed. The Word of God being the seed. The finances are good. The smile is good. The hug is good. The helping somebody fix their flat tire is good. The serving in the church is good. Those are all good seeds to sow. But they're the hull. The Word of God is the seed. When we just put our money in the bucket, Danny and Deb will do whatever they do with it, and then it'll go to the bank. But the Word we put on it that we took aim at today went into your heart. And that is what will start growing. Okay? Am I being too simple for y'all? Because I know you know this stuff. But because of the time we're in, because of the glory of God, because of the awakening, because of all the things that are happening right now, the people getting saved, the people that are wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the people who are getting healed, all the miracles that are going on, we need to be prepared in every way to get to where we need to get to. All right. God created man, and he gave him some gifts when he created him. He gave him dominion, and he gave him what? He gave him seed. Okay? So he was given seed. So we have to understand that that's going to be a major part of it. Then Jesus comes along, tells us how the kingdom of God works, told us all these things. Now, I want to say this to you. I want to answer some questions here in just the next few minutes before we all go eat birthday cake. Which looks really good. Let's answer this question. How is God going to keep me from trusting in riches? What would he tell me to do or have me be in so that I wouldn't trust in riches? Because trusting in riches will bring you failure. We're to trust in God. Okay. I'll give you the answer in one word or two words put together. Seed time. Sowing seed. When you sow seed, when you answer God's call to sow the seed, you're saying, all that I have is yours. I'll do whatever you tell me to do with it. So you're not going, no, God. That keeps you in a place where you're not serving the personal wealth. Does that make sense to you? Yes. This is when you're getting over into you and God fully cooperating. I know it is God that brought me into my wealthy place. Therefore, my allegiance remains with Him and not money. Amen. I'm wealthy for a purpose. I'm wealthy so that we can get a job done. We have money with a mission. Yeah, it's for you to have a home. It's for you to have a nice home so that when you lay down at night, you're comfortable. It's good for you to have a home where that people can come to, and when they come in, they can relax and feel the presence of God. That's an awesome thing. Hospitality is a big thing in the Bible. It's a big thing in the Bible. It's nice that when people get in your car, that you don't have to say, hold it, and push all the cans out of the way and everything, you know, and your car's good and everything, you know, and everybody looks straight ahead. And you have a nice car. It blesses other people. And it also, what do you do well around? Billy Brim used to say, I do well by water. When your soul is at peace, and when God has blessed you, you're able to fellowship with God better. So it is good for you on that level, but then there's so much more. We just found out that, what was it, 50 French Jews that the KCM brought home, that's counted to you too.
Yes.
See? That, now, how'd they do that? Because they're big givers. If you stay for Friday to see the Friday service at the convention, you'll see how big. I'm talking orphanages and all kinds of stuff. They've just done all kinds of stuff. Helping people when there's a disaster, they send a team. And so we are, of course, engaged in that as well. And then whatever we can do. We get calls. Pray for so-and-so. Help so-and-so. Can you give to this? And we do it. It's on a little smaller level than they are doing, but we're doing it.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. So it's necessary, okay? Just trying to help you in case people try to persecute you about this. You won't ever feel bad about it because you're not your own. You're doing this with God. So if you're willing to sow, many times out of need for the spread of the gospel, God has promised you a bountiful harvest. So you can be blessed and then you can help somebody else. We got blessed with a vehicle. Someone gave us a vehicle, and then Amanda's vehicle went down. So guess what? She got to drive Carl. We named him Carl. And so Carl, she drove Carl around because, you know, and then somebody else needed Carl. Somebody in here probably needed Carl. John drove Carl because his went down, I think. And then so Carl was really used. And then we came to the point where we were like, well, I feel like we can do something with Carl. So then Sissy needed Carl. So now Sissy has Carl. And so, but see how things, Debbie, I call her Sissy because I've lived with her for a long time. So, because she's my blood sister. Okay. But you get that. If you've got something, you can use it.
Right.
If you've got some anointing, when you lay hands on people, they'll get it. But yeah, you need to have some.
Amen.
So you need to have some of all of this increase.
Right. Right.
You need to have some time.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll say that. You need to have some time to do what you like, too. God will go with you. Amen. Now, do you remember Acts 20:35 where it says that it's more blessed to give than receive? People have been quoting that to you for years, right? So why? Why is it more blessed to give than receive? Well, it's because giving produces receiving. Giving raises the level of receiving because anybody can receive, but being a giver puts you in a position of multiplication. And multiply is good.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's seed time and harvest. That's the system. Now, let's just look at the seed for just a moment as we're coming down the home runway here. We have to get a concept of seed. You're like, well, I think we have it by now, Pastor. Well, it maybe somebody needs it besides you, so just pray that it'll get to them right now, okay? All right. Jesus taught in Mark 4 that the Word of God is the seed. This is what I want to get to. I jumped up on it a while ago, but here we are. Jesus said it was seed. So the Lord's whole system deals with seed. 1 Peter 1:21 says, being born again. You really got to get this part. This is going to be really good. You're going to like it. 1 Peter 1:21 says, be born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So corruptible seed, I'm going to make you real happy right now. Corruptible seed can be destroyed. Once you understand seed time and harvest, and that your job is not your source, God's your source, and that your job is the place where you get your seed. Now, it got quiet on that one. I'll try it again. The job, your job is the place you get your seed. Yeah, you're going to use some of it on yourself, but it's a place you get your seed, or you need to see that God is your source, what I'm trying to say to you. That then you can begin to walk out this journey in total submission to God in the area of finances, placing whatever you have in His hand and doing whatever He says to do with it. So periodically, people will give me a gift of some finances. And so I've made it my habit to not just go, thank you very much, and I'm going to do, you know. What my habit is, all right, Lord, what do you want to do with this? I'm going to tithe, I'll give. And sometimes He'll say, tithe, and then you can have it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then, my paycheck is available to God because I'm debt free. Yeah. I mean, I have a few bills to pay, but basically I'm debt free, so it doesn't cost all of my paycheck. We can give and buy things. And so, point being here is that you're able to, move the way God wants you to move.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you are really serious about going to Israel? Okay, take a picture, angels, now. And if you're not, it's okay. You've been before or whatever. But if you are, now, how are you going to go? You're going to sow seed. And you're like, well, I couldn't get that big of a seed. That could be, you know, way more than month, 2 months worth of money. No, it's not what God asked you to do. He said, sow the seed. Now, you have sown a seed. That should cover that in a mighty big way. So get it out of your thinking that you can't go. This is just an example. Get it out of your thinking that you can't go. Well, yeah, but how about, stop it. Somebody paid my way. And I'm forever grateful. The whole thing. And you don't need to be going, wonder who could do that for me. No, God's going to do it for you. But He can do it. How are you going to the convention? And are some of you still believing for some of the finance? It's not a problem.
That's right.
It's not a problem. Well, we can't go because I don't have the finances. See, you need to wash that out of the system. If God calls you to go, go. If He doesn't, don't go. Everything needs to be based on God's will, not based on your finances. But if you leave yourself locked in a financial position, then when God calls you to do something, you're never going to be, you'll have to tell Him, oh, I can't do that. I can't afford that. But I'm not going to be locked in that position. Get to a place where you have enough money to buy a plane ticket if you need it. I remember having that goal years ago. I was like, I'm going to just have enough money in my checking account. If I need to buy 2 plane tickets, we can go where we need to go. Why not? Well, you know, Pastor, I'm just buying the bread and the milk level. Not now. Not anymore. Not after today. But you'll have to change your thinking. Am I helping anybody? I'm trying to get you stirred up that increase is here. More than enough is here. And that it's a good thing because God is good. And I believe if you're here right now, you're listening to this, you can handle this without getting yourself in trouble. Because money is an amplifier. We're talking about prosperity, not just being rich. There's a difference. Now, I hadn't said this yet, I want to say this. Your financial seed becomes incorruptible, indestructible, and your return cannot be annihilated. God puts a divine army around your manifestation, and then he escorts it until it gets into your hands. See, maybe you haven't seen that before. Maybe you're not thinking about that. But if you have an incorruptible seed and you haven't corrupted it with your mouth, and you haven't dug it up out of the ground, or you haven't started worrying, or you haven't started making money your God, deceitfulness of riches, if you stayed down the line in your prosperity and you know the truth about it and you're in that, that seed is incorruptible and God will protect it till it gets to you. We're talking about finances, but you can do this with relationship. You can do this with healing. It's incorruptible as long as you keep that seed in there. Your favor, your success, whatever it is, you have to, you keep it in this lane, and you know how to do that, casting down imaginations and speaking the right things. So everyone who tries to stop this armored car then, the guy driving the armored car, which is God and his angels, who's on his way to bring it to you, they have to deal with heaven. Anyone that tries to stop your incorruptible seed from growing is stepping in against the will of God. And they'll have to deal with heaven. His name is Satan. And heaven will deal with him. And he can be caught as a thief. You're like, well, so-and-so's owed me money for 25 years. Well, what have you been saying about it? Just that? Well, I don't have a job, I don't have a job, I don't have a job, need a job, pray for me to get 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 a job. Then it's always in the future. Always in the future. I have my assignment in the name of Jesus. I believe I receive it and I have my assignment. Yes. Well, what is it? You'll know pretty soon. Y'all can all be a witness to that. Just tell people that. You don't have to. Yeah. You don't have to tell everybody all your business. I have my assignment in Jesus' name. And not, I'm going to my assignment. I have it.
That's right.
I have it. Yeah, somebody's got it there. Thank you for it, Lord. All right. Sorry, I'm taking a little long here. We're not long on the clock, but I'm trying to get finished here. But I feel like I'm just coaching you today. So, Father's trying to get this to your address. And if you don't want your harvest, I'm just going to get my address to him. No, no. So don't stop the armored car, the presence of God that's stopping your healing, your finances, your prosperity, your favor, whatever it is. Don't stop it with the seeds of your mouth, the words that are corruptible. Okay, Lord, help me get finished with this. I need to move on. So it's incorruptible, it's indestructible, because you are in the divine will of God. And he becomes responsible for that seed to bring up the crop. He will also help you get it in the barn. There are angels right now trying to get something to you right now. Now, how can I make sure it gets to me? That's the next question. Satan doesn't like you to have your harvest. He cannot create words, but he can pervert them. Okay? He wants to prevent God's word from coming to pass. That's his whole plan. Remember what it said in Mark 4? Immediately the thief comes in to steal the seed. He wants to steal the seed of the word because he can't take down the tree. It's harder. So God has given us his word, and his words are creative. Satan wants to steal that word from you. He wants to steal the seed. But if you'll hold on to it, if you'll water it, if you'll shoo the birds out of your garden, the truth is that you sow seed and you reap harvest. And if you do it like we've just talked about, you will have what we're going to call a prevailing seed. A prevailing seed. And you will get a prevailing harvest. Amen. You'll get a prevailing harvest. A prevailing harvest is a harvest that cannot be stopped. A prevailing harvest. Now, I have some prevailing harvest going on in my life that I've had going on for years. There's seeds that I've sown that have kept giving. They've just kept giving. And so have you. There's just things that you've launched out into and you've done, and they kept giving. Think of all the giving that happened since the first time we gave Aaliyah. The Lord said, I'll bring you home if you bring them home. For me and for you also, we got this building by a miracle. And then by a miracle, half of it got paid off in one day. And then by another miracle, the other half paid off, and we're 8 years early on paying this building off. That's pretty good. And when I say that, I don't mean we've been paying on it for 30 years. It was like a 15-year note. So that's pretty good. Okay, so it's done. And then I got a house, and my house is debt-free. Okay? So, and I can name, and I know y'all know about my car harvest. There's another one out there. That Deb drove up here today, and it's debt-free. And so I don't ever think back the other way. I don't have to. It's a prevailing harvest. I hope I'm helping you. Okay, now, I just declare that over you today, that you have a prevailing harvest. Amen. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word created everything, and everything was created by the seed of the Word. This everything is subject, including money. Everything that was created will obey the parent force. Words of faith. Faith-filled words created. Faith-filled words will make anything that was created, obey it. There's your prevailing harvest right there. If you have faith-filled words, your harvest can't be stopped. You're like, well, I think I'm doing it, but something's wrong because it's not happening. Well, go back and ask the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you right now exactly what to do. Go back and ask the Holy Spirit the last thing he told you to do. And when he'll immediately tell you, and when he does, it'll open the river back up, because you'll do it and it'll open the river back up. There's something you said or did or didn't do, and it'll open right back up. It's usually about words. Okay? Amen. All right. Now, God is good. I'm just going to read this to you so that we can save time. The seed didn't come out of the harvest. The harvest came out of the seed. We're trying to draw out our people are trying to draw out of mercy and grace and kindness and goodness and the loving aspect of God, but we can't in the area of finances and some other areas. God says he can't give us anything without a seed. So there's no use in trying to draw just because God is good or start begging him, okay? He's a good God, but no matter how much you praise him or how much you cry or how much you beg, you still have to use seed and faith. You can go out and cry in your garden, but if you don't plant the tomato, there's nothing's going to come up. This is the system. This is the kingdom of God. You've got to plant words. I plant this. I declare I have my assignment.
Yes. Amen.
You have to just plant that. And if it's planted, then you, what, if it's planted and you believe it, are you going to go, oh, disagree with me? No, because you have it. Or, if you could just... Evidently, you didn't believe it. I know, I'm getting dramatic, sorry. Now, so, the word was not in the begging. It was in the beginning. It's the beginning. And a beginning is a seed. A beginning is a seed. So if you want to begin something today, plant the seed. You can plant. Pastor John planted so many seeds in people. He'd walk up to them and say one word. He walked up to my nephew and said, I need you to be an usher in my church. You're just big enough to receive the offering. Pastor John, funny like that. Here he came, started coming to our church. Just had one thing. Just because he went, oh, what happened? That seed was planted, and he went, oh, I guess I could do something for God at the church.
Yeah, and now
he's served God for years now. Now, so, but just think about that. He planted one seed with me, circled my name in red. Oh, am I in trouble? No, this is my list of people that I think could be senior pastors. Okay, and I'm in year 19 right now. Okay, so not in the begging. Stop begging God to change America. Put the seed in the ground. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, now, here's our last thing. Why do we name our seed? We name our seed so we'll recognize our harvest. Remember that the actual gift you're giving is the hull of the seed. It's the material part. You're giving with your words. The words are the spiritual part, which go into the spiritual realm, and you get what harvest you have sown. Naming your seed is simply the act of sowing it spiritually. Words are the spiritual part. Everybody say that. Words are the spiritual part. Okay, so your incorruptible seed will be the words that enter heaven and bring harvest to pass on the spiritual side. And it also lets the Lord know that you care about his total will. Amen. He saw you give. He wants to see you receive. Now, when you give, you sow or you give, your seed doesn't leave you. You're the good ground. Your heart is the good ground. God, using God's laws, your seed just became your employee.
Amen.
Let's stand up. Okay? You need to know what you have out there working for you. You need to know. For years and years, we've been writing down our seeds. And then out in the line, we've written down when we got the harvest. I do it every year at the convention. I give every offering, and then I write down what I'm believing for, and then I'll see it. I went back and looked through some of my notes, and I've had a harvest almost everything I believed on. Because a seed will meet any need. Amen? So write down your sowing and reaping. Don't just... Mm-hmm. Would y'all do that? Would you do it? We just write it down. So then you'll have a testimony when we call you to come up here and testify. Okay. How many of y'all had something happen? Oh, I can't even remember. Well, write it down. And then you'll know. Plus, things that are written change your life.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. Oh, I have to answer one more question, but you'll get this real easy. Why are people so against the prosperity message? You still with me?
Yes.
I'm going to give you the answer for it. Why are people so against the prosperity message? It's not because they don't want money, because they're all going to go to work tomorrow morning to get some money. They're investing to get some money. They're saving it in their savings account so they'll have some money. So why are they against the prosperity message that is clearly spelled out in the Bible? It's because they don't want to give some money. I'm telling you the truth. They don't want to give. Well, you know, I don't want to come to a prosperity church. They just want your money. That isn't true here, first of all. We're trying to get something to you. We're trying to get your ministry going. They don't want to give money. So they just say, oh, they just want, that's all they want. They just want that. God's trying to bless you with kingdom living. You're not going to have kingdom living. You can have world living. It's not going to go over there to that place where they're just going to talk about money. But then again, in the Christian world, that is the place where there is the most hardship, is in the arena of money. I think about a letter that came out. Dear people within our audience, whoever gets this message, we're the missionaries of na-na-na. Please do not fall for those people who preach that prosperity message. It's of the devil, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Flip the letter over in the back. This is literally the truth. And the letter said, by the way, you won't be hearing from us anymore if you don't give. That's a true story. They read it to us years ago. That years ago they read us that letter. And I was thinking, that is so true and so dumb. Partnership with ministries is a wonderful thing. You get credit for a lot of souls. Money equals souls. Money equals healing. Money equals people getting revelation. You're sitting in, we could all be standing out in the heat today, but we're not. Thank you, Lord. But see, what happens is people get saved and then they get into religion. And they get into a religion that doesn't teach them anything. They don't teach them the word. They just say, these are our rules at this church, and you do this, and it's a sin to want to be rich and all that. But interesting enough, we have a lot of rich people in the Bible. And Jesus wasn't poor either. Hey, they financed him at his birth. He had people following him around to being a partner to the ministry. And you don't have a treasurer carrying around your money if you got 55 cents. Those that oppose your prosperity are the ones who say, oh, that's just a greed message, when in fact they are the ones who are greedy, fearful, and upset that someone might get their money. They put on a face of a great humble Pharisee and pretend to serve God with their great sacrifices. But God said obedience is better than sacrifice. He said his way was seed time and harvest. The good news is we can go with the word. Thank you, Jesus. So go ahead and be blessed. Go ahead and be comfortable.
Right.
Just know whenever you're called upon by God to do something that you're willing to do it. And you will be. You will be called to stretch from time to time. But God is good and He will take care of you. He promised He would take care of you. Amen. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye now.